Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Good morning, and do not worry. I, your host at Feet to the Fire, Sergio Fassa, I have my finger on the pulse of everything going on. I know what's going on in the news, and just because I don't get to it in my short little daily podcast doesn't mean I'm unaware. I have a particular goal in mind doing this show, and one of the things that I want to do is develop a Christian and conservative worldview, a conservative worldview grounded in biblical thinking and Christian thinking. And so I talk about the things that I want to talk about that assist in accomplishing that goal. But I'm aware of the fact, of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. That young man, I think it was 17 at the time, high school student, I believe, that was in, I think it was Kenosha, Wisconsin, where he defended himself and shot and killed some thug Antifa rioters that were coming at him with their own weapons, and the media spun it as murder, and the trial's going on, and one of the Antifa rioters who didn't get shot just admitted in court that he came at Kyle Rittenhouse with his gun drawn. Clearly self-defense, and I believe, hopefully, this young man's going to be acquitted. I'm aware of that. I'm aware of the fact that Joe Biden farted in Glasgow, Scotland. I'm aware of the fact that he was at a climate conference in Scotland where they're discussing decreasing methane, and one of the biggest producers of methane is cows, cow flatulence, and in the midst of that, Joe Biden lets one go and farts at the anti-methane conference. So the irony is just incredible. This old man, it's sad. I mean, are these not sure signs of losing it? Reckless, inadvertent, spontaneous farting, losing your mind, rambling. This is the indicators of old age and signs of things like dementia. But I guess we're just covering that up. I'm aware that this is going on, these methane outbursts from Joe Biden. But I want to talk about the things that I want to talk about. Here's a goal of mine. I want to draw a connection, if possible, in your minds between these things, which I think for people are often disparate and separated ideas, but really go together. Liberalism, environmentalism, anti-property rights, and ultimately opposition to Christianity, Christian law, Jesus Christ, all of those things I listed, liberalism, environmentalism, against property rights, which is also called socialism, that is all part and parcel with the kingdom of Antichrist. And when I say that, people get jittery because they think it sounds too fantastic or superstitious or wild or mythological. When I say kingdom of Antichrist, what I mean is the empires in the world, or the world systems that are at war against God's law and God's sovereignty and God's kingship, which is manifest and acted out through Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe. God reigns through and in him because he is the God of the universe. So the dark empire, the world system, is characterized by standing against God's law. And one of the biggest iterations we see in modernism in the West, in the movement we call liberalism or progressivism, there's an anti-property position warring against the Decalogue. And it goes along with, you know, the Ten Commandments say thou shalt not steal. It also says thou shalt not murder. And thou shalt not commit adultery. All these things hold sacred certain principles of God's law, such as life, sanctity of life, sanctity of property, the sanctity of marriage, and the left wars against that. Progressivism, liberalism. And one of the means they do that is through environmentalism. So here's the PCUSA climate hymn that I've been wanting to read to you. The climate is changing, and how profane that they put this to the melody of immortal, invisible, God only wise, a great standard Christian hymn, such a transcendent hymn, and what a defiling, profane, and irreverent, blasphemous thing to replace the worship of the immortal, transcendent God with earth worship. I mean, is this not reminiscent of Romans 1, where it says, man in his foolishness will exchange the worship of the Creator and the Immortal One for the foolish worship of created things, like birds and animals and reptiles and statues made in the image of created things, even to the point of worshiping man himself, worshiping created rather than the Creator. That's man's folly. So here's what it says. The climate is changing. Creation cries out. Your people face flooding and fire and drought. We see the great heat waves and storms at their worst. We pray for the poor, Lord, for they suffer first. And what's striking is this is supposed to be an earth worship hymn. And in that last line, they insert right there, social justice and class warfare. It's not fair for the poor, environmentalism. Well, how do we fix that? Well, obviously, confiscating wealth, overturning property rights, abolishing property rights, and redistributing the property to the poor so they won't be poor anymore and won't suffer under environmentalism hardship like global warming. I mean, it barely makes sense, but you see the trajectory is ultimately, environmentalism is, the trajectory is a stepping stone into abolishing private property, which, by the way, is always a lie and a facade because you can't abolish private property. You can get rid of that as much as you can get rid of gravity. What they mean is that they are denying everybody private property rights and ownership except for the elite few who will own everything. So there will always be property ownership. That's the key. God instituted that in his natural law in creation. There will always be property ownership. The question is, who owns it? And socialism has its goal to deny property ownership to everyone, all the masses, equalizing everybody downward in poverty, and then relegating that ownership, which will always exist, to the few who own everything, the alleged elite who will care for all of society, the utopian government. I mean, this is what communism is made of. Next verse, we pray for the animals here in our midst who cannot defend their own right to exist. This is from the Presbyterian Church of USA, it's allegedly a Christian denomination. They don't have a right to exist. We eat them. That's biblical. Go to the book of Genesis. We pray for the mountains and forests and seas that bear the harsh footprint of our human greed. There it is again, environmentalism. It's not just about loving the trees and caring, which is what they try to teach our elementary school kids, and they try to say in the culture, just about clean air and water, right, guys? Just about caring for the trees and the bugs. And it's clean air and water, and it has nothing to do with confiscating everybody's wealth. Yes, because they view it as the cause being human greed, and therefore to fix the environment, we have to destroy capitalism. It's right there in their climate hymn. We thank you for leaders courageous and brave. We know that the earth is worth fighting to save, who care about justice and what they should do, who listen to science and work hard for you. They're working hard. Those elites who are going to take all your property rights away, they're working hard for you, because they care in their utopian government. And they listen to science. And I do the voice on purpose because it shows the emptiness of their way of thinking. But their proof, they say, is the science. And there's so much science contradicting the myth of climate change and global warming. It's absurd. But that's not the science they want to hear about. It's like Animal Farm, where George Orwell. Was it George Orwell? No, he wrote 1984. My mind is evading me. Steinbeck? I can't remember. Apologies. This is embarrassing. Anyway, Animal Farm. They said, we're all equal, but some are more equal than others. Now, there's all kinds of science, but some science is better than other science. So they pick and choose what kind of fake science they want to use. And it says, our leaders, you see this verse. We thank you for leaders. So it's a worshiping these elite utopian leaders. And who are these leaders? They're the ones who care about justice. There is social justice and equality. So again, there's a parallel, a connection, a nefarious inbreeding, or as we say, this nasty stepsister relationship, or they're in bed together. Environmentalism and socialism, otherwise known as dissolving property rights and getting rid of capitalism, otherwise known as denying God's law, thou shalt not steal. And so in the middle of a climate hymn, you have these utopian leaders who are just wonderfully compassionate, right? And they replace God in people's minds and they care about justice. How? Implemented by dissolving property rights and confiscating wealth. If you think I'm over the top, can you please listen to John Lennon's famous song, Imagine? Are you ready? and that John Lennon, the hippie Beatles from the 70s, just wanted peace, right? Here's his words to Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. Why does he start that way? And this is a famous song. Okay, that's great, John. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Oh, look at that. Get rid of accountability to God. No hell below us, above us only sky. What kind of hopeless humanist, atheistic position is this? Imagine all the people living for today. This is like classic hedonism, anti-Bible thinking. Imagine there's no countries. Oh, wait, that sounds like no border wall and no borders. That's right, in the name of, quote, global unity, dissolve sovereign nations? What is that? That's one worldwide nation, one worldwide government called Antichrist Kingdom. This is what I keep explaining. It's all right here. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Yes, it is. Nothing to kill or die for. So it's going to usher in utopianism, huh? Global government. And no religion, too. That's right, because not only is capitalism the bane of existence on the earth, but it's really Christianity that is the ultimate scourge on the earth. Imagine there's no religion, too. Imagine all the people, life, living in peace, okay? You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Okay, so all this utopianism, what's his next line? Imagine no possessions. What? Why does this not strike anybody that in a peacenik, hippie-loving, all-hold-hands unity song, which is all fake anyway, there's a line in there, imagine no possessions. Why are these people obsessed with getting rid of property rights? Because that's a cornerstone to liberty, is property ownership, and to Christian liberty and Christian law, and they know that. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Yeah, that's utopianism. Get rid of property rights. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Yeah, live as one with no heaven and no hell, which is a crock because the world's going to burn under God's fiery judgment. And that's true. I didn't get to it today, but tomorrow we'll look at this worked out, the dissolution of property rights in San Francisco. The liberal cesspool and center point, the zenith of liberalism, and see how they're doing with abolishing property rights in San Francisco. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. Liberals don't care about minority rights and women and the trees and the bugs and the birds and clean air and water. It's all a pretense to war against God's law. And the most simplified and concise iteration of which we find in the Ten Commandments. Their goal is to assault and attack and ultimately destroy and vanquish the Lamb and His Word, and they will fail miserably. So hang in there and hang on to all your stuff with a tight grip because they're coming for it.